At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What are we talking about again?
Remind me so I don't say anything stupid, like half the population was wiped out from gun violence or something.
I thought we were going to talk about that. What was that, Skull and Bones Club that we both go to and party regardless of the result of the debate?
Speaking of the debate, that is what we're talking about today. Imagine you're a, come on, man, 81-year-old male who maybe has some trouble with verbal fluency from time to time.
Most 80-year-olds do.
And you want to be sharp, focused, energized, engaged, and on target. What do you do?
Yeah. If only we had some information like a full history and physical from a physician that we could review.
Yeah, at least the portion that wasn't redacted.
Yeah, that's true. And then we can fill in some of the curves and come up with a nootropic stack. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. So what nootropics would you like to see the president on, potential president on?
Yeah. We will dive into this quite deeply, but probably the most controversial one that we'll talk about is nicotine. So stay tuned and see what we recommend. Welcome back to the Gillette Health Podcast, where we give you tools to develop a balanced approach for health. I'm Dr. Kyle Gillette.
And I'm James O'Hara, and I also like to remind you that we do not give medical advice on this podcast. I'm going to start dropping that at the beginning of every episode, just because.
Yep, just tools to develop a balanced approach for health.
Just tools, no advice.
Which might happen to contain some good information, perhaps better than the information to the president of the United States, or perhaps
this
worse.
This podcast could sway the results of the election.
It could. There is a chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Yeah, perhaps so. But I suppose out of national duty as voting citizens, pretty apolitical, but concerned enough citizens to at least do our duty to vote, it struck us we have a debate coming up here in less than a month, don't we?
I was thrilled to see that there's actually going to be a debate. I thought that they were going to buck tradition and skip the debates altogether. So I have popcorn ready at home, ready to go. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. So as far as I know, there's like an elephant mascot type candidate, and there's a donkey mascot type candidate, and there's a third party candidate, RFK. But I think the debate is just between the elephant and the donkey team.
Yeah, that's the way I understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like one of these candidates, Donald Trump, has a White House physical. This looks like it was on CNN.com. This interesting website to be reading this on. But it's signed by this Dr. Ronnie Jackson, an MD, physician to the president, and a admiral in the U.S. Navy. So pretty interesting to read over his physical. Yeah, I guess other than the basics or whatnot. What struck you when you started to read over this health information?
Yeah, I mean, we can start with the basics there. There are some things that I think, that was an odd decision. But I mean, he's a pretty tall guy, 6'3", about 240 pounds.
It's all relative. Speak for yourself.
Yeah, you may have looked at this and thought, wow, that's a pretty short guy. He's tall for a CrossFitter.
Yes, certainly so. But yeah, blood pressure is normal. You know, vitals are normal. Really nothing too crazy for 71. Nothing too surprising. So yeah, they did a pretty thorough exam. More notes in this physical than you would get at your average PCP.
Yeah, I guess there are levels to the healthcare system.
Yep. So I guess this is tax dollars at pretty good use, paying the salary of Dr. Jackson. Seems like a great thing to do. I hope that we continue to do this and publicly publish all physicals, ideally for all representatives. Politicians. Yeah, but only for a couple terms, because really nobody needs to be in there for a lifelong
time. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyways.
But at the time you don't want your physical results released, that's when you should step down.
Yes, definitely.
So visual exam, he's got 20/30 vision, so deteriorated a little bit, corrected 20/20. So it looks like he's gotten glasses at least recently.
Yep.
To use for reading, maybe for driving, that sort of thing. No yep. pathology. The next thing I saw that was interesting, gonna kind of skip over the normals here, yep. but low dose CT of the chest.
Has he smoked more than 30 pack years of cigarettes in his lifetime?
The notes in this physical would suggest he's never smoked even a single cigarette.
Oh my goodness. You mean the physician to the president does not follow the USPTF screening guidelines?
Guess not. Unless they were following up on a pulmonary nodule, which this says
no
there
pathology.
Was no nodule,
it
no
probably
pathology.
Didn't, yeah, probably did not resolve completely. Radiologists, especially newly graduated radiology, like board certified radiologists, quaking in their boots right now at this unnecessary imaging that would only find incidentalomas. So what a terrible idea to do that. Just kidding. It's reasonable. It's low dose. I wish it was a CCTA with a like a clearly analysis or a heart flow plaque analysis. Now that would be interesting. But other than that, the rest of the cardiac exam, I suppose of note, a regular rhythm or a regular sinus rhythm
yep.
and a normal rate. So no murmurs, no AFib. And they also did an EKG. So
and an echocardiogram.
Yep. I wonder if they build insurance for that EKG and that transthoracic echo.
I don't know. It's a good question. Do they bill just the White House or do they bill insurance?
I know that politicians kind of carve out special grandfathered in insurance plans for themselves while the rest of us plebeians are, you know, scrounging through the marketplace. He probably did not go on the health marketplace to get his insurance.
His Medicare supplement plan.
Yep, probably not. But I mean, even if he did, if it's this important of a politician and you're a citizen of this country, you should be okay with some tax money.
Yeah, this gastrointestinal is interesting here. So you had a normal colonoscopy 2013 with no polyps, yep. Repeat not indicated and was deferred until next physical exam. And I guess this was back in 2018, so 5 years. You'd think they would have the president at the time or anyone who's a high-ranking political person on a little bit more aggressive screening protocol, maybe at least a little Cologuard
extra
in
Cologuard,
there
yep.
between the colonoscopies, but
or
with no
gallery
polyps.
Test.
Yep. Yeah. With no polyps, I suppose that's pretty reasonable still. It's like average care, but if you wanted to go above and beyond and make sure that you're hedging on the side of being cautious,
yep.
yeah, Cologuard or the Grail gallery test would have been a great choice there.
Yep. So yeah, not too much else of interest. They did a cognitive screen exam, did the Montreal cognitive assessment. He had a normal score, no surprise there. Normal reflexes, no neuropathy, and a skin exam. So pretty solid physical exam. His laboratory workup was a bit more interesting.
Yeah. Lipid panel. So this is lab that anyone has access to. Insurance is going to cover this. That's a pretty high HDL there. Is Trump, do you think he's a lean mass hyper-responder?
His triglycerides are too high. Now, if he truly is on that 10 milligram of rosuvastatin, his LDL is expected to be around 190 or more. So you're like, well, is it FH? Is it, is he a lean mass hyper-responder? But strict keto. With his triglycerides at 129, those are way too high to be considered a lean mass hyperresponder. And at 230-something pounds, it'd be pretty impressive if he was lean enough to be a lean mass hyperresponder.
That would be pretty impressive. Yeah. And if, I say if, he's taking the rosuvastatin consistently, his baseline LDL is probably above 200. Baseline trigs are probably also in that range, about 200. Mm-hmm. So that would point to some insulin resistance, some metabolic dysfunction happening.
I'll acknowledge my subconscious bias to where I think that he may be a patient that might not fully adhere to a medication regimen when prescribed all the time.
Yeah, it's certainly possible.
And you could take that as a good trait or a bad trait or some of both. But surprisingly, his vitamin D was also 20, and his PSA for a 71-year-old, shockingly low at 0.12. It didn't really get into if he does vitamin D supplementation or not. But I do not see at least a prescription vitamin D on his med list. He has a Centrum Silver multivitamin, which I believe is a tablet, correct me if I'm wrong. Not a great form of multivitamin. Capsule would be much better absorbed, especially in someone over the age of 70, than a tablet. He has the ivermectin, and don't get too excited, just the ivermectin cream for rosacea as needed.
But wait a second. In the dermatologic, it said normal exam, no evidence of melanoma, basal cell, squamous cell, or any other significant dermatologic disease.
What about male pattern baldness or rosacea? So the rosacea is presumably controlled with the ivermectin cream. And I do like ivermectin cream, which is Soolantra for rosacea. I do have patients on it, and there is good evidence for treatment of rosacea with this. Interestingly, he is on finasteride, 1 mg daily. I like that. Now, perhaps he'd have less OCD tendencies if he was on a microdose of dutasteride instead.
Yeah, that could be a reasonable swap to make. Could improve upon that, get better efficacy, and potentially less side effects.
They did not note that he had any gastroesophageal reflux disease, which, as we'll see with his opponent, is a little bit different. But oddly enough, he is on an 81 mg daily aspirin, and they do not note that this is the liquid encapsulated aspirin Vazalore. For someone like this, just to prevent even a minuscule risk of esophagitis or gastritis or GI bleed secondary to gastric ulcers, it makes sense to switch him to Vazalore. That way it does not open up until it's in the small intestine. It's still available over the counter. So a little bit surprising with that. I do like the choice of rosuvastatin. Again, if he's truly on 10 mg, then it should say every evening, QHS, rather than daily. Ideally, it is surprising how high his LDL is still.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, cholesterol balance test could give you a little bit more information there, assuming somebody is compliant. But we'll talk about sort of what changes were made and what we might have done differently downstream. So immunizations. So this year, so this was, I think, 2018, he got a Prevnar 13, which is kind of interesting. And you said maybe it had his 23 already. And I was sort of under the impression that you did 13 and then 23. Now it doesn't matter a whole lot because you do Prevnar 20.
Yeah, the Prevnar 20 kind of has the benefit of both of them. That's the new Pfizer vaccine. Usually when you turn 65, or at least before you had Prevnar 20, you do Prevnar 13, wait 12 months, do Pneumovax, which is a PPSV 23, the 23 valent. But if you're assessed to be at any increased risk of pneumococcal pneumonia or community-acquired pneumonia, you can get the 23 valent before the age of 65. For example, if there's someone who's implant. 55 years old, yep, if they have that, or if they have, you know, asthma, or if they're just going to be around a lot of people with pneumonia and potentially immunosuppressed from poor sleep and lots of travel, it is reasonable to get that at 55. So I wouldn't be shocked if he got the 23 valent at 55, the 13 valent at 65, and then another 23 valent at 66.
Yeah, could very well be. Also says routine vaccinations, including seasonal influenza, up to date, and indicated travel vaccinations as well. This is something I really hadn't thought of, but if you are the president, you have a pretty rigorous and international travel schedule. So, you know, those things are indicated.
Yep.
I wonder what this section would look like for our bonus candidate.
Yeah, probably not a whole lot of immunizations on his record. I would be very interested to see. So I suppose if RFK does win the election, then we will be privy to this public data. I think this is public data. At least it's publicly released for both Trump and Biden.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. I think that's the way it's designed for some degree of transparency.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like they talked about, you know, this is an assessment plan. His cholesterol was still not at goal. He was on a low dose of rosuvastatin, 10 mgs, I would consider it a moderate dose.
Yeah.
20 and 40 are the high dose statins. So I wouldn't necessarily say low dose, but they did recommend increasing him from 10, presumably to 20 milligrams of rosuvastatin. Again, that's best taken in the evening. And in general, that is the best statin choice for most people. There's exceptions. And then they also discussed diet, exercise, and weight loss, and a diet lower in fat and carbohydrates. Did not say what type of fat or what type of carbohydrates.
Just sounds like more protein. Protein replacing the fat and carbohydrates. That's sort of the way it has to shake out.
Yep.
Is interesting. It says in order to further reduce his cholesterol level and decrease cardiac risk, higher dose of statin may have some independent cardioprotective properties. But as far as reducing cholesterol, I really wouldn't expect to see much of a difference between 10 and 20 mgs. Maybe you go from a 40% lowering to a 50% lowering.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a much more sophisticated protocol to add a 10 milligram ezetimibe to that. But then the question about, you know, compliance comes along. And I think, well, if he's going to take this a few days a week, is it better to try and track down, you know, two pills or have him just take a higher dose of the rosuvastatin, you know, high intensity rosuvastatin a couple times a week?
What do you think the chances are that all these candidates have had private health assessments or executive physicals where they actually get their coronary angiogram and their like carotid plaque testing? You know, they get more in-depth tests, because if I was a president and I was over the age of 70, or even if I was not a president and if I was over the, if I was in more advanced age, I would want to know, you know, I have all these things available to me, all these things that I can access, like PCSK9 inhibitors.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the risk-benefit analysis of taking a PCSK9 inhibitor?
Yeah. Honestly, if you got someone who's not as compliant, put them on inclisiran every 6 months.
Yeah.
And then, you know, see what the effect is, of course. But that may be a better option if someone's like, look, I'm not going to take the pill. I'm not going to do it. It's not going to happen. But I would bet that it is a smaller percentage. I would say probably, if I just look at Congress as a whole, you know, maybe I would think 20% of people have had an executive physical. It's probably less than that. I don't think of Congress as being like the peak preventive or the peak healthiest people in the population.
Certainly
because they're too busy working hard for the American people to focus on their own health.
Yeah. So, yeah, relatively interesting. Very sparse in the lab category. Like, you know, I want to know the interesting stuff. What's his testosterone?
He's got an A1C of 5.
What's his fasting insulin?
People
are really concerned
high.
About his body weight and they want to know his fasting insulin, maybe his glycated albumin, his total testosterone, his IGF-1.
Yeah, I don't think the glycated albumin would be much different, because A1C, it looks like, if I had to bet, he's cranking out a lot of insulin to keep the glucose and A1C low. So probably eats a meal, has a pretty robust insulin response. Yeah, that drives another set of problems. But it's, at least for now, you know, looks like his pancreas has been able to outrun the blood sugars.
Yeah.
But yeah, no testosterone level.
Yep. Kind of a bummer on that. So, and no ApoB either, and no LP little A. So there's quite a bit still left in the table that would be interesting to look at.
All right. Should we move on to candidate number two?
Yeah. Dr. O'Connor, another physician to the president, and this is in a little over a year ago, February of 2023. And good job, whitehouse.gov, for publishing this. Perhaps they were legally obligated to. I'm not sure if they should be. but anyway, they did. And a very comprehensive workup. So pretty similar to last time where they look at, you know, organ system by organ system. It's almost like everybody who goes to their primary care physician should get something similar done.
Yeah, it is a pretty similar workup. You know, they commented on his recent run-in with COVID-19, vaccination status, and so forth. And then the, I think probably the most interesting chronic condition is the atrial fibrillation. So they reviewed cardiology consultation. He's got this persistent AFib, not with RVR. So it's got a normal rate.
69.
And asymptomatic. So he doesn't endorse any, you know, sensations of palpitations or lightheadedness, et cetera. Confirmed on EKG. Interestingly, the echocardiogram leaves out the, or at least this version that they released, leaves out measurements. So it doesn't comment on like the thickening or lack thereof, the ventricle walls, or the size of the left atrium, which I'd be interested to see.
Presuming, and the right atrium.
Yeah, in terms of the likelihood of correcting that AFib.
Yeah, so those would be good things to look at. Surely he, in the cardiology consultation, they discussed things like how safe would the, you know, kind of the newest generation versions of ablations or ways that they can, get him back into sinus rhythm so that he does not have to be on Eliquis for long periods of time. Because as people, as, you know, physicians realize, Eliquis certainly has side effects other than hemorrhagic stroke, can have to do with blood flow to the brain. Mm-hmm. And if you're, in persistent AFib, at some point there is a decently high chance that your rate will go above 100.
Yeah, yeah. On Eliquis, which is a good medication, but, you know, why wouldn't they do something like a, you know, Watchman or, you know, even if, you know, before you get to that point, trying to get back to normal sinus, because it does say that he has never required any medication or electrical treatments to address rate or rhythm.
Yeah.
So that sounds like no one has tried. Presumably this has been going on for a long time. And I could see this picture if you like, you know, a doctor goes in and you see someone and you think that they're all, you know, this is a high-risk person. They don't have a lot of, you know, lifespan or health span left. We want to subject them to, you know, a cardioversion, if we're going to flip back, or do we want to do an ablation on this person? But if you're looking at like someone who's in a bit better health status and you think, you know, I think a lot of people deserve a shot at sinus rhythm, you know, they may feel better in sinus rhythm than they do in AFib because they are getting better, you know, blood flow, better, more efficient cardiac function, I guess. You lose the atrial kick, which is what, about 20% of the blood volume, something like that.
Yeah.
So if it's me and I'm in AFib, I want to not be that way.
Yeah. So why is he in AFib then? He has hyperlipidemia.
I guess that's what they decided.
Yeah. I don't think it... Yeah, he didn't have a stress echo. I believe Trump had a stress echo. He had and Biden had an EKG and an echocardiogram. But I don't think he had a stress echo.
Yeah, so we do know that he has sleep apnea, which isn't mentioned in this report. That's interesting. But there were photos circulating, and I think the lines from the mask were on the face, and people were saying all kinds of crazy things, like, is he being tortured? And then the White House had to come out and say, no, he's treated for sleep apnea with a CPAP.
Oh, that could be his body doubled up.
That could be the trigger. That could be the trigger for the AFib. A lot of times sleep apnea does predispose to an arrhythmia.
Yeah. So all possible. We'll probably never know. Of course, since he has AFib and hyperlipidemia, he's certainly not low risk of ASCVD event, namely a stroke. On Eliquis, he's going to be a slightly lower risk of that. But again, same thing as with Trump, it'd be interesting to see what his CCTA looked like. I don't think they commented on his carotids. Not that, carotid auscultation is very poor, but I don't think that they ultrasounded or commented in any way about that.
Yeah, this is more like the assessment and plan without the physical exam added there. Yep. But look at that lipid panel. Not too bad.
Yeah, love the lipid panel. No, not even any need to check an ApoB. Although I suppose, you know, for plain devil's advocates, what if he is an ApoE4E4 homozygote? Do you want a lower LDL than that? Or is it probably too late? Maybe he should have started a lower dose of rosuvastatin. It doesn't say how long he's been on rosuvastatin. Perhaps it's only 1 year.
Doesn't say the dose of rosuvastatin either.
Yep. So lots of question marks, probably intentionally so.
Yeah, it's nonspecific, but it does give you some information. And then reflux. So, you know, candidate number one doesn't have GERD as far as we know. It, maybe they have some silent GERD. They just haven't had an EGD to look at that.
Yep.
But this was what they were attributing his frequent throat clearing to, is some reflux that was causing some irritation there. Mm-hmm. And they have him on Pepcid for this, mm-hmm. which at first glance seems like a better option than something like Nexium or Prilosec. Yeah.
No chronic PPI, less gastrointestinal infections, less bone density issues if he takes this for a very long time. But he's also on Allegra, another antihistamine.
Yeah, and antihistamines are not great in general for older adults, and also probably not something you want to treat a symptom of something with in perpetuity, especially thinking of like the cognitive burden over a lifetime and area under the curve dose exposure to an antihistamine. In this case, sort of two of them.
Yeah. He's also on Dymista, a nasal steroid antihistamine for his allergies. These probably do help. So it doesn't really say if he's using these daily or if he just uses them intermittently as needed, but it says seasonal allergies and perhaps seasonal sinus congestion, maybe daily. So he would want to use both the Allegra and the Dymista as little as possible, given that he's on Pepcid chronically. Another thing with using Pepcid, which is famotidine, a H2 blocker for GERD, is that it has a pretty fast half-life. So you really have to take it twice a day if you want to get pretty good coverage all around. If it's just in the evening, sometimes you can get by with, you know, if you get reflux at night when you're asleep, you can take it just in the evening. But yeah, that's definitely something to watch, is this antihistamine burden or antimuscarinic burden.
Yeah. And then number five, this is sort of an interesting one. And I like that they included it in sense of like transparency. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look like he is in particularly good physical condition. He's got some, you know, stiffness and a little bit of difficulty with ambulation, mm-hmm. Some muscle tightness.
Some neuropathy.
Looks like he works with, and they recommend that he works with physical therapy ongoing. Looks like he had been working with physical therapy and will continue to do so, working on flexibility and proprioception, which is like balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, he just needed that neural zoomer test to see what's actually causing all this. So that you didn't. I don't see any functional health testing.
Organic here. Acids. Yeah. What's missing here?
Yeah.
No testosterone level either.
Yeah, and no estradiol level and no DHEA level, especially with the kind of like now known history of sleep apnea. It would be particularly interesting to see how he's producing growth hormone, testosterone, and his both nocturnal rhythm of melatonin and diurnal rhythm of adrenal hormones, cortisol, and DHEA.
Yeah, even something like a homocysteine would be interesting to see.
Yeah. I think they mentioned that B12 was normal.
So it's 300 or higher.
Yeah, his B12 levels are normal. So does that mean his B12 is 304 and his homocysteine is 48 and his methylmalonic acid is, depending on the range, 0.4 or 400, 500, 600?
Yeah, B12 level is 301. TSH is 4.49.
Yeah. Do you optimize his thyroid just on that TSH with his history of AFib?
I wish that they drew more than... it says thyroid function, so maybe they did reflux to a T4. Maybe the TSH is actually 12 and the T4 is normal, so they're not treating it. Otherwise, why wouldn't they just say TSH is normal?
Free T4, 0.83.
Oh, so it's normal.
Yep. So yeah, we can only speculate. If any of the three candidates wants a free lab panel, I feel like we can offer, just message our office and we'll get GilletteHealth.com. You can click on lab orders. We'll get both of them a complete panel with a complete micronutrient panel. And if they want to go over it too, publicly without seeing it, then even better. But no need on that. So happy to get you a lab panel and, keep it, confidential other than us mentioning it right now.
Yeah.
Next is his, I guess we didn't talk about the rest of his neuropathy workup. He does not have diabetes. His A1C and glucose are normal, but again, no fasting insulin, no glucose tolerance test, no CGM data, and no glycated albumin or fructosamine.
Yeah, and this is a large number of specialists that he sees. So one, he saw a cardiologist. He saw an ortho spine specialist, ortho foot and ankle specialist, podiatrist, neurologist, physical therapy, dermatologist, and an optometrist. So that's eight different, and a dentist. So
he could have just gone to Gillette Health.
Nine different specialists sort of reviewing different facets of the health.
It's because when you're looking at primary care physicians, they take this is relatively basic stuff. A non-president would not be seeking expert consultation. But that being said, it doesn't hurt to seek expert consultation. Referrals are fantastic, and seeing as many specialists and getting as many opinions as possible is generally a good thing, other than the time and funds that it takes. Mm-hmm. So it can be extremely time consuming. He probably just goes into Walter Reed or wherever the presidents go, and there's a rapid fire. It's probably as efficient as possible for him. His physicians probably block an entire day. So for him, it doesn't really matter. But certainly for the average person that's relatively healthy, seeing 10 different specialists is very time consuming.
Not likely to be feasible.
Yep.
And then we were going over the medications and allergies, which was kind of ambiguous there. You had mentioned that they're lumped together and it doesn't clearly define until the end that he has no medication allergies. So at first glance, it almost looks like he's allergic to Eliquis, which he's taking.
Yeah. So he's on the Eliquis. He's on a mystery dose of rosuvastatin. I assume he's on 5 twice a day of Eliquis. Maybe he's on 2.5 twice a day. Maybe. Maybe he's on 2.5 once a day. Probably not. Extremely unlikely, actually, since it's AFib. A mystery dose of rosuvastatin and then the over-the-counters. He does not use any tobacco products. It says tobacco. So does he use nicotine? Does he
maybe
nicotine patch?
It I would
could improve his performance in a few ways. So very interesting wording there. Yep. No tobacco products, but perhaps nicotine.
Does not drink alcohol. Works out 5 days per week.
That's why he's so jacked.
Maybe they're counting the physical therapy sessions where he goes in and they massage out muscle knots or do some dry needling or things like that as working out, have them do some balance exercises. But as far as like vigorous training, I don't think that's happening 5 days per week. Yeah, that's my opinion. What do we think?
Yeah, probably not. Anything's better than nothing. Normal height, normal weight, normal BMI. All those doctors, and they still didn't have 5 minutes to put him in a DEXA scan and look at body comp and visceral adipose.
Yeah, I mean, to both of their credit, neither one of them is diabetic at this point. We know that is true. And that's pretty rare by the time you get to your upper 70s or 80s.
Both healthier than the average 80-ish year old.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yep. They did a good physical exam. So that's good to see.
Head, ears, eyes, nose, throat are normal. No comments on the earlobes themselves.
No comments on if earlobes are attached or unattached. So, that'll be interesting to see in the future. They mentioned in his labs, his vitamin D was also normal. So maybe that was 31, where Trump's was 20.
Yeah, it'd be above 30 to be considered normal.
Yep. And then magnesium level was also normal. So.
Which makes sense to check in the context of AFib and having the potassium on the CMP.
Yep. Creatinine normal. He's not on creatine. He doesn't work out that hard. Doesn't have a lot of lean body mass. His blood urea nitrogen is normal. Probably not mega consuming protein. Or if your BUN is high, does that for sure mean you're dehydrated?
No. Could be the animal protein breaking down to urea,
yeah,
ammonium cycle.
Probably not a carnivore.
Or you're bleeding from your GI tract.
Yeah.
That could happen.
Very well could be. So, yeah, all in all, good to read over. Those are the highlights of it. Again, if anybody happens to be interviewing him soon, ask him if he uses nicotine, since his physical says it's just tobacco. It would be nice to have more, I guess, quantitative information rather than just, because at a high level view, all this says is he has AFib, he doesn't need medications, and he's on Eliquis.
Yeah, you could sum it up. That's probably the 75% of it.
Yep.
Yeah, I want like a WADA investigation level report.
Like a
what's
drug
his
test.
What's his biologic passport look like?
Yeah, I would be super interested to see his biologic passport. And at some point, it'd be nice if people could just wear continuous monitors of not just glucose, but you know, ketones, lactic. Alcohol.
Oh, you really abstain from alcohol.
100%. Yeah. LH, testosterone. It'd be interesting to see all the above. And then it would be, if enough people did that, then the data would be pretty easy to analyze. You could, you know, look at a normal day. You could normalize the data and then see what it looked like.
Yeah. So now what would we do to optimize these candidates for a high stakes debate? For peak mental performance?
Yeah. I suppose the first question is, do you have half a year to prepare? Do you have 2 to 3 weeks to prepare? The debate's 2 to 3 weeks from when we're filming this, but it'll probably be just days from when we post it. Or do you literally have 2 days? So
if you have a limited time to try things, you probably want to be a little bit less aggressive and go with things that you don't think are going to cause side effects. Yep. It's like, okay, this has a high potential benefit and a low risk. Those are the sort of interventions you're looking for.
Yep.
Whereas if you had 6 months, then you can tinker with things to really dial in an optimal protocol.
Yep. If I had, for Trump, if I had less than a week, then I would not do anything hormonally. So, yeah. I mean, depending on what you consider hormonally, but if I had more than a week, if I had months, something like a Xyosta would be a great option. That's a auto injector of subcutaneous testosterone, enanthate. Doesn't matter that it's enanthate. Doesn't matter that enanthate starts with E, which is the same thing that elderly starts with. But something like 75 mgs a week would be good. And same thing for Biden. And I know RFK is already on TRT.
Yeah, the Xyosta, it's an interesting choice. You're using 75 mgs a week for both candidates. We know one has significantly less DHT. So does he need more TRT?
Possibly. If I was going to go with 100 mg a week Xyosta, it would much more likely be for Trump, especially if I switch him to dutasteride from finasteride.
Yeah, larger body habitus too. So yep. Maybe that plays a small percent there.
So lower androgen pool, that being said, I would make the argument, again, based on my subconscious like bias and feelings. This is not how you like, you know, they're not our patients. And if they were, we couldn't tell you. And you wouldn't. But some people do not need as high of an androgen pool. More DHT in the prefrontal cortex of some people is not great. That's another reason I think dutasteride would be better, is because it's stronger action on type 3 and type 1 isoenzymes, and weaker action on type 2. So I think even Trump's, gatekeeping, if you will, would benefit from being on dutasteride and a nice, even, you know, something like 100 mg a week of Xyosta.
Yeah, that would be an interesting tweak to make. So you add in some TRT, assuming that he needs it. Assuming he's not already on it and just not telling us. and then swap the finasteride for something like the dutasteride in its place, sort of tapering up.
Not daily, but once or twice a week.
Yeah, a reasonable level. Then you've got modafinil here, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Yep. 50 mgs.
50 mgs, just a hint, enough to keep him alert. And, I mean, if you are someone who, in your late 70s, you're probably not sleeping as well as you were in your 20s, 30s. Mm-hmm. We know that modafinil does ameliorate some of the cognitive deficits if you're sleep deprived.
Yep.
So, you know, for a single day peak mental performance, that low of a dose, I think there's a lot of potential upside there and not a lot of downside.
Certainly. Next is L-theanine. I like a 400 milligram dose for Trump. Again, the gatekeeping, the relaxation, the alpha waves, the same benefit as meditating or prayer, where he's calm, cool, collected, but not tired. So I like that a lot. And, you know, if he's also on modafinil and or cholinergics or nicotine, which we'll talk about, then that can help, modulate his response to that stimulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like the cat that's about to pounce on its prey, you want them to really be able to control, in this case, not motor neurons, but control things before they say them out loud.
Mm-hmm. You like creatine a lot for him. I was surprised that creatine was not in either supplement list.
Yeah, creatine makes a lot of sense. You get more cognitive benefit the older you are, aside from maybe some intramuscular water retention. Doesn't seem to be a lot of side effects for most people.
Yep, and that goes away with enough use as well.
Yeah, it typically feeds back. And then I went ahead and made a comment there. You know, 5 grams daily is plenty. If we see that the night before the debate he's been tweeting at 3 a.m., then we go ahead and give him that 20 milligram dose. Because that also seems to help in a sleep-deprived state to give
20 gram, yeah.
Yeah, 20 gram, not 20 milligram. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Next is methylcobalamin. So methyl B12 in lozenge format. That way, going to skip any sort of like GI malabsorption, especially in more advanced age. The stomach makes less intrinsic factor, so B12 is not absorbed as well at the last part of the small intestine. So I like a 10,000... unit dose morning of the debate. So just to make sure that is
topped
in no
off.
Way a rate limiting step.
So, yeah, we've talked about how B12 shots are largely a scam because you can just absorb sublingually just as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why we didn't say B12 injection.
Yep.
A bit of tadalafil. This has been shown to improve cerebral blood flow. Makes sense the morning of the debate to use sort of a micro dose there because you don't need a lot. You definitely don't want to aggravate somebody's seasonal allergies, mm-hmm. cause a headache, sinus congestion.
Yep.
Just a touch to get the blood flowing.
Age 80, PDE5 levels are sky high.
Mm, they're burning through that nitric oxide.
This is a functional, natural approach. If anything, I just want to bring that PDE5 down to normal.
So burning through nitric oxide like taxpayer dollars.
Yeah. Maybe not quite that bad. Next is a nicotine troche, and what a lot of you are probably thinking is, why a troche? Why not a patch for nice, smooth, even, delivery? This is literally just to get him warmed up before the debate. He could also do a little bit of Tabex, which is another nicotinic receptor agonist, but I would actually kind of not prefer that because both of them are prokinetics in the bowel. And even if you give him some Imodium, then both can kind of cause that. So if he takes the troche, say 1 to 2 hours before, he'll get in a good bowel movement. And then it'll kind of prime, it'll amp him up. It's his pregame or his pre-workout. And then it's gone partway through the debate when it might be causing him to be a bit, too aggressive, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, running on adrenaline at that point. Once he hears some things that he doesn't like, he'll get kind of amped up on his own and he'll be relying less on the nicotinic receptor agonism there. Mm-hmm. And then choline, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, looking at, choline in the diet or, if you have a couple of days to throw something together, it's like, hey, start loading with some bioavailable choline sources like alpha GPC.
It's a good one.
Gorilla Mind Smooth, which has alpha GPC in it.
Yep. Yeah. Obviously, nicotine is a nicotinic receptor agonist. So getting that muscarinic activity for the cholinergic nervous system is helpful as well. And if they, you know, if they do have an allergy flare up and they take an antihistamine, then this can help backfill things for its other benefits, if that makes sense. Next is perhaps not as closely related to the debate, but we mentioned his rosuvastatin dose, assuming that he has been taking the 10 mgs, decrease it down from 20 back to 10, add 10 milligrams of ezetimibe, and also add some form of CoQ10 like ubiquinol or microactive CoQ10 that's highly bioavailable. This he would not want to do too close to the debate. This would be ideally months
before. Yeah, this is, a total health optimization tweak. So if you have 6 months prior, it's okay, let's go ahead and adjust these meds, add back some ubiquinol to support mitochondrial function, and improve the lipid panel, decrease cardiac risk. It's good for the heart. It's good for the brain. This is more of a long-term intervention. Next, we have some exogenous ketones. So for this candidate, you've suggested ketohol or hard ketones instead of ketone esters.
Yes. So these are not ketone esters like, delta G ketones or ketostart or keto nutrition. A lot of the ketone brands are ketone aid as well, are like beta hydroxybutyrate, a true ester that's instantly active. But for him, I actually like the take it earlier in the day, take a ketohol or a ketone alcohol. I think, I can't remember if it's 1,3 butadiol or 1,4 butadiol.
I think 1,3 sounds right.
One of them is a GHB precursor, 1,4 probably. So 1,3, not the other way around. And it'll chill them out. And it, you get some of the benefits that, like the GABAergic relaxation. So I think that this will also help with gatekeeping.
Yeah, I think this would be good to also have as a break the glass situation. So you're, say a third of the way into the debate and you notice that your candidate's being too aggressive, you just give them the signal to crack open another hard ketone.
Yeah, show whatever brand it happens to be for product placement. That's funny. I like when Cristiano Ronaldo takes the Coke and then just puts it down and starts drinking a regular old water. That's my spirit animal for that. Next is huperzine A or huperzine serratia, which is actually approved for Alzheimer's disease in China. Maybe don't tell this candidate that, but use between about 200 and 400 micrograms, perhaps something like 100 micrograms twice a day or 200 micrograms and then 100 micrograms in the other daily dose. So this would be a reasonable addition, probably not necessary if he does end up going with the cholinergic stack. So probably no need to do this and alpha GPC or this and a low dose of nicotine, but it is a reasonable addition.
Yeah, I think so, especially if you have a little bit more of a time horizon to play with and see how does someone respond to this.
Yep.
If it's the 2 days before scenario, I'm probably going to, as much as I like Gorilla Mind Smooth, I'm going to say just get a pure alpha GPC. Yep. That way there's less variables because it is a multi-ingredient product.
Yep. Get some transparent energy. So,
yeah. If you notice your candidate is not peppy enough, you give them the other signal and then they open their can of transparent energy.
Yep.
And then I think Imodium is a safe bet.
Yeah, why not?
Because if you're going to have nicotine, presumably some caffeine, some modafinil. You want to not be thinking about having to use the bathroom while you're debating. If you get a little bit constipated, the next debate's a few weeks away, however far apart they usually are.
Yeah, marathon runners, triathletes, they use this as well. A couple times a year is not going to have any significant damage.
Yeah. And the last one is reflumilast. I think this one is mild and benign enough to where you're really not even going to notice you're taking it.
Yep.
It's going to kind of be working in the background. I forget if it's cyclic AMP or GMP, but it should help to facilitate better dopamine signaling, just like the cholinergic system is going to do, just like the modafinil is going to do. So sort of helping to work synergistically.
Yeah, true microdose. If I remember right, also works on PDE4.
Right.
Yep. But brand name of this is Dalaresp. And yeah, really, really low dose.
Like 100 micrograms, which is a fifth of a tablet.
Yep, for memory and recall. Like you said, with the other things, you would definitely want to try this before. It is quite benign, but does have some good data as nootropic. And that wraps up the stack. And believe it or not, that is a more abbreviated stack than the one that we are about to discuss for Biden.
Yeah, that seemed pretty comprehensive and exhaustive, but this next one is even more exhaustive.
Yep. Starts the same. Ziosted 75 mix a week. Again, we don't know his baseline androgen pool. We don't know his DHT. We don't know his testosterone. But we assume that he has high SHBG, as most 80-year-olds do, and does not want to mess with needles and does not want sky-high DHT from androgel.
Yeah, I think that's great. I don't think that a gel is ideal for anyone, really. I think there's better methods to do that, better pharmacokinetic profiles of different routes. Why does this candidate get 4 times the modafinil dose?
Yeah. If I'm being nice, then the sleep apnea that he wears a CPAP. Mm-hmm. If I'm not, it's because you would deem his risk of somnolence or being a little bit too sleepy to be higher. I would take this 3 hours before the debate at 200 mgs. No, he's probably not going to sleep the next night. If the debate's in the evening and he takes this at, 2 p.m., mm-hmm. then that is really going to throw things off. But if that's the rate limiting step to increase the performance in the debate, then it's worth it for one day.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think that out of the two, this one could use a little bit more pep in his step, be a little bit more engaged and energetic. And also the sleep apnea, because those dopamine neurons, someone who's had sleep apnea and it wasn't treated for a period of time, mm-hmm. they're not going to be operating at full capacity.
Yeah, it's a good summary.
And speaking of dopamine, how about this selegiline? Is he starting a cryptocurrency? Is that why we have him on selegiline?
He is not starting a cryptocurrency. So selegiline is really interesting. I do like the idea of a patch. And it would be prescribed off-label, that I know he does not have major depressive disorder or Parkinsonian symptoms, even mild. Kind of hard to say, like with the Parkinsonian spectrum or whatnot. But a lot of people utilize this. Even people, there are trials in ADHD out of Iran that show it non-inferior to methylphenidate, which is Ritalin or Concerta. So it being used as a cognitive optimization medication is reasonable. They have to remember to put that on when they go out. And then they also have to be really careful with their diet, tyramine content, and other medications that they take while they're on it.
Somebody has to also remember to take the patch off. Yes. I've heard stories, in nursing homes of, fentanyl patches and multiple of those getting left on. I don't know how common that is, but it does happen from time to time. So for anyone that uses a patch for medication,
yes,
got to make sure that that's being taken off and replaced at the appropriate time.
Speaking of patches, we can skip ahead to nicotine patch.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think this is a better idea. I don't think that he needs as much gatekeeping. In fact, perhaps people would be more interested if there's less gatekeeping and that extra nicotinergic signaling. Could have some ancillary health benefits if at a low enough total milligram per day dose. For example, if you look at individuals who do smoke tobacco, a lot of them have at least less severe or less clinically penetrant Alzheimer's symptoms.
Yeah, I think there is something to getting that agonism of the nicotinic receptors in a patch. In this case, we don't want to start off too strong and run out of steam. We want to provide some steady stimulation of that receptor throughout the debate.
Next, we kind of have an either or. So if you're not doing the selegiline patch strategy, many people, in fact, I think this is an extremely commonly prescribed medication. I don't know how many millions of Americans are on these, but Aricept, which is donepezil, and Namenda, which is memantine, at basically their starting doses. So your acetylcholinesterase inhibitor, again, you probably wouldn't want this plus huperzine A, because they're basically versions of himself, or the Namenda, which is the NMDA inhibitor. I assume that's why they named it Namenda after they discovered that working on memantine. But this combo can be pretty potent, and it's been studied relatively well, even for those without dementia. But yeah, I think it would be reasonable to start one, wait a month, start the second, and have at least another month or two before the debate. This is not something you want to start 3 days before the debate.
Yeah, I don't think I'd start either Selegiline or the Aricept Namenda combo 2 days before. You want to have some runway there because there are some, you know, mood changes and side effects that are more likely with both of those medications.
Yeah. And again, we don't know what his right atrium or his pulmonary vasculature look like. We don't know where kind of those like ectopic atrial fibrillation beats are coming from, where the foci is or the focus. We don't know how many their spots there is. However, we do know that donepezil, compared to other acetylcholinesterase inhibitors, does have a higher risk of QTC prolongation and torsade de bois, or TDP, which can lead to VFib. So we certainly don't want the VHIB just to optimize his cognitive ability a bit. So I assume the reason why he's not on donepezil is that. But there is other acetylcholinesterase inhibitors to choose. And he's already on two antihistamines, which have antimuscarinic activity. So it's like, well, or they have, yeah. So, you know, if you're going to have antimuscarinic activity, then perhaps you want a little bit more choline secondary to an acetylcholinesterase inhibitor to balance those out.
Yeah, it would make sense, but I believe this could be a recipe for, if I'm not mistaken, I think donepezil is considered also perhaps a dry drug, can have some of those side effects. So if you add that to antihistamines, something you'd have to do carefully. And, you know, access to EKG is pretty simple. If you're looking at it from a cardiac standpoint, what's the baseline QTC? Does it change? Mm-hmm. It should be done on an individual level and with plenty of time and, you know, safety buffers.
Yep. Definitely no more than 5 mg starting out. Maybe they could even microdose before the starting dose. As you mentioned, sarin gas and VX gas are also acetylcholinesterase inhibitors, just much stronger. So dose mix the poison.
And then he gets beta hydroxybutyrate. So some delta G ketone esters.
Yeah. It seems like a relatively safe way to fuel the brain, other than, you know, carb fluctuation. Again, we don't know his fasting insulin. We know he has a normal glucose and a normal A1C, but he does have peripheral neuropathy. So I feel like there's not a lot of downside to adding these cognitive ketones. They have a loading dose and they have a maintenance dose. And a lot of people love how they feel on them, and they have that nice sustained energy where there's not a crash or tank as time goes on.
Yeah, and even people who don't have any cognitive impairment enjoy these ketones. I've heard Rhonda Patrick talk about them. She uses them before podcasts and that sort of thing. Yep. I don't know if she's mentioned, you know, brand specifically, but I know she's talked about using exogenous ketones in that manner. What about optimizing sleep quality? Yeah. Probably not great with, better now on a CPAP machine than it was prior.
Yes.
But at 81 years old, probably not sleeping as deeply or as restfully as he used to.
Yeah. So for that, he has a little sleep apnea on a CPAP. So wouldn't we just give him something like Strattera and oxybutynin?
To get rid of the REM sleep completely.
Get rid of the REM sleep. Then he just won't feel rested whatsoever. oxybutynin is also a very potent
anticholinergic.
Yeah. So super dry. Definitely don't give him that. Plus Aricept.
That makes me rethink my trazodone suggestion there also, because that could be a dry drug.
Dose-dependent mechanism of action, though.
Yeah. So at a low dose, probably going to be okay. But yeah, I do think
12.5 mgs.
The best would be, you know, the orexin receptor antagonist. But DORA, what if his insurance doesn't cover it?
I'm sure he can get samples or a program of that. So he doesn't care about those things. That's the problem for us plebeians. But yeah, Adora, like Quvivic or Belsomra, or Belsomra is mostly just on one of the orexins, or Dayvigo. These inhibit the orexin receptor, which orexins are basically hungry, angry, and awake. And they actually have data that they improve cognitive function the next day rather than make it worse, like a lot of sleep drugs. For example, Ambien, Xanax would definitely want to stay away from those.
Yeah.
So I don't see a harm, and I see a lot of potential upside to doing a very low dose of Adora each evening.
Yeah. Well, and we know that they don't disrupt the sleep architecture like Ambien, Xanax do. They actually would tend to improve it where you're getting more REM sleep.
Do you think he has like a Wesper device that he just wears all the time? Wesper, you put a sticker over your diaphragm there and then...
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a month or, you know, even less time, you could check in on the sleep quality and you get 30 days of data, even if you only sign up for a 1 month subscription. And sleep is really a hidden gem when it comes to cognitive optimization. A lot of people sort of overlook that when they're like, what can I take? And the question a lot of times is, well, what should you do? And optimizing sleep can be a big thing. You think he has a sleep eight or an eight sleep? I forget which way it is.
I don't know. But he may as well. I mean, it's pretty expensive investment. But he may as well. Again, he's really not worried about the cost. Politicians in this country are extremely well off because of their
hard work,
salaries, hard work. Anyway, a few other suggestions that are similar that we mentioned for Trump's protocol is that methyl B12 lozenge. Again, making sure that that's not an issue. And really with his peripheral neuropathy, no harm in megadosing B12. Doesn't want to megadose B6, but he may as well megadose B12. And he really should have a homocysteine and a methylmalonic acid checked. And then that same dose of tadalafil, which is Cialis, 2.5 mgs morning before debate.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Maybe some longer term considerations would be, you know, maybe you pull out the Pepcid and you do Tums if you got 2 days to prep.
Yep.
Maybe longer term, you know, you do switch to a PPI to get the irritation resolved and then taper off of that. Mm-hmm. It sort of depends on, you know, what's going on. Is it just that, you know, he can't eat dairy or it flares up, but he likes ice cream and you sort of are like, well, what are we going to do about this?
Yep.
And then switching from Allegra to Singulair, you know, that's got some mood changes, potentially some blood pressure changes.
Yep.
But something you could consider to get rid of that antihistamine. And I think this could go for both candidates, actually. The last point there, some lifting the morning of the debate to get lactate. For a younger individual, I'd probably suggest some high-intensity interval training. Mm-hmm. They could probably get more lactate that way. Yep. But I don't want to tire these guys out too much. I want them to be fresh and sharp.
Yep.
So you've got the glucose system. You've got some ketones for brain fuel. Mm-hmm. And you've also got the lactate, which we know is brain fuel.
It's a nice, steady safety net of metabolism, of brain energy, if you will. We mentioned Imodium for Trump, so loperamide. Again, that's the last thing you want to be thinking about. Used a lot in marathon runners, triathletes. And then we already talked about ablating his AFib, and then he would be able to stop his Eliquis and maybe do some more DHA, which is the cognitive omega, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I think that's a great summary. So that was a pretty long list, even longer than our first candidate. So just wait till you see our bonus round.
Yeah. For our bonus round, and again, I don't think RFK is debating in either one of these debates, but for him, it is well known that he is on testosterone replacement therapy. I think Joe Rogan asked him that first. So thank you for asking him.
Yeah.
If anybody else interviews any of these candidates, please ask them what other medications they're on. And yes, supplements count as like something that they're on. Actually, someone should just say, are you on any supplements? Are you on creatine? Why not? Like that would be super interesting.
Yeah. The follow-up question would be really interesting. Are you taking creatine? No. Why not?
Yeah.
Because my doctor didn't tell me about it.
Yeah, it's true. It's bad for your kidneys. That would be hilarious if I actually said that.
Oh, man.
RFK gets a lot of sun exposure, or at least it looks like he does. He's a great candidate for a barrier sunscreen. He's probably not going to be on board with a chemical sunscreen, which is totally fine, but he may as well use a barrier and then get routine skin exams and dermoscopy with something like a Dermalight for a little bit more in-depth analysis. And then he is probably going to be around a lot of large groups of people. So there's a few other things that he could consider in addition to the, you know, the usual tadalafil, Imodium, stack that we have for the other candidates.
Yeah. So his testosterone is presumably optimized, or at least more optimal than the other candidates.
He can continue that.
But a Pfizer pneumococcus vaccine.
Yeah. Specifically, the Prevnar 20. Yeah. If you're on the campaign trail and you're being around a lot of people, and you're going to be greater than the age of 65, then it's certainly, I mean, not everything is without risks, but if I had to take an immunization, I would be awfully tempted to get a Prevnar 20 when I turn 65. And it actually prevents another immunization. For example, Trump got the Prevnar 13 and then presumably the 23 valent after that. So that would be my recommendation for him.
Yeah. And it's a shared decision-making process. Not all patients are agreeable to vaccination or medication or supplementation.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't want to do the Prevnar 20, I'd send him our metabolic activator stack.
Yes. We can link to that too. I know that it has a lot of carryover in the like cold and flu supplement prevention stack that Huberman went over.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps he also linked to that same one in his episode. I know that we've discussed that. But yeah, also on that note, all of these stacks, they are not for real people and they are not medical advice for anyone. So if any of these candidates are listening to us, and if one did listen to us, I think I know which one it would be. I think it would be RFK.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a podcast.
He's a podcaster.
Guy.
Yeah. So it's not individualized medical advice, but feel free to comment below with your official accounts if you want to discuss it publicly or send us a message privately, and we are happy to discuss.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Yeah. As always, please comment below with any thoughts. Whatever we missed, please also comment below. I know that there's a chance that our friend Derek will post a kind of his version of this on his More Plates, More Dates channel. So I personally hope that he does because I would be extremely entertained with that whenever I'm mowing the lawn or whatnot when I listen to his podcast. But yeah, please let us know what we missed and what we should not have included in the stack. For I'm sure there's a decent chance throwing this together, we missed some contraindication. So
a supplement drug interaction or supplement interaction, something like that.
That is certainly possible. And also do not take this stack as your own cognitive enhancement stack for whatever podcast or debate that you are doing. So, but yeah, we hope that you've had fun. And as always, thank you for your time and may God bless you with health and happiness.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.